Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards. Reliability starts here. Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
We're back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and network. Pete Gray here, along with Corey Sandin. Ricky, it's got a big day today. Congratulations to Ricky and Dallas. They're getting married today.
Congratulatories, man.
And I don't understand. You know, Corey, and we're grateful that you're here and being a part of Let's Talk Hookup. But I asked him, so you going to work Saturday morning? The wedding's not till 4. You got all day.
Right.
And he's like, and Dallas was there. And she goes, no, he's not.
He's got to get his makeup ready. And he's got preppings to do.
You know, family things and all that stuff.
Totally, totally understandable.
Congratulations to them. And we're very excited for Rick and Dallas, for sure, in their future. No doubt about it. We have a great show here with Al Q, Conway Bowman, saltwater fly fishing, and so much more to talk about here. We're talking about that great movie premiere coming up, Finding Joe Brooks, and we'll talk more about that. But time for the Catch Report.
And today is sponsored by the Sato Linewinder Kit. It has everything you need but the plywood board and your drill. It's a super high-tech line winder. It is comparable line winders, Pete, that go for $2,000. All this for under $300. Your best value in high-tech line winders, get yours at the Longfin, Fisherman's Landing, Tackle, or other selected tackle shops.
Yeah, it's a great line winder. I have one. I use it all the time. Let's start with our private motor buddy, our fishdope.com reporter, Captain Mark Wish from Pacific Edge. Morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Pete, Corey, and Jess. Well, it's been interesting listening to all this sharky stuff. It's still out of my arena, but God, those things are crazy for sure. But here, fine fall fishing continues, guys. Good signal in several different areas. Weather right now is up on the outside, so the outer banks are kind of off limits there, but plenty of opportunity a little closer to home. At Catalina, again, the wind and swell down the back there is making that kind of tough here the past few days. You know, squid scattered all up and down the back there, but a little tough getting to it right now. But prior to conditions changing, that yellowtail fishing was really good over there, lots of big ones. Last couple days, a better action has been on the front side middle, front side west. And there's still some surface iron fish, sardine fish, a lot of mackerel fish. Those big yellows love those big mackerel. So if you're trying to get over there, guys, make sure you try and catch some inside the harbor here before you get going. It's definitely worth it. There's also been some signs of tuna fish off either end of the island there. There was some down the ridge toward the 277 and then up above the west end here. And again, this was for the weather, but it was both yellowfin and bluefin both. And surprisingly, looks like, because it's been a very strange marlin season, but a few more showed up again off the east end. So maybe we'll get a little late rebite here. Definitely not over yet. At Clemente, again, need a break in the weather here on the outside, but that island's waiting. There's quite a bit of that big yellow over there, mostly west on the bait grounds on the backside there. It's been some very good fishing for the weather. Still some signal on that bluefin around, scattered up and down the back. And I just heard from Danny from Fish Dope just a little bit ago. There was some weight yesterday southwest of the 43. And then somebody with some real huevos was testing the conditions down the west wing of the butterfly there. And I guess saw some signal fish in there also. Definitely choppy, though. Closer to home, there's also been a little bit of tuna fish scattered up and down the coast. You know, it showed pretty good there for a couple days. Kind of below Dana, down inside the 267, down to Oceanside to the upper end of the 9 there, 3 to 8 miles off the beach like that, but yellowfin and bluefin both. And, of course, got to mention that bite that you guys got down there in San Diego. That's just been nothing short of fantastic on that yellowfin that's in there, quite a bit of skippies mixed in, and then out to the west a little bit, there's been some nice bites on that bluefin also. There's a lot of tuna fish around still for this time of year. It's good stuff. Time to go fishing, guys.
Yeah, no kidding. Time to go fishing. And, of course, fishdope.com, Danny and the boys. I went fishing yesterday. That's where first place I go, fishdope.com. Find out all the information and where to be, and they know exactly where it is. So fishdope.com, $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com. using the code HOOKUPNOW. Lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW is your code. And Mark, of course, for the best bait tanks and good advice, how do we find you?
Pete, we're in Huntington Beach. We're on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger. There, the phone number at store there, code 714-840-4262. The website, PacificEdgeTackle.com. And, of course, I want to say congratulations to Ricky in Dallas. We wish you guys all the best, man. It's exciting for you.
Absolutely. No kidding. Big day for them, for sure. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate that, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
Yeah, you got it. We'll see you guys.
All right. Very good. All right.
From Bolsa Chica and Edinger all the way down to Mission Bay, Marcos of Seaforth Sport Fishing. Good morning, Marcos. A lot shaking on down there at Seaforth.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing today?
Great.
Yeah, I feel like it's Groundhog Day because I'm going to give you the same report as last week again.
It's good fishing.
Very good fishing. Still catching some yellowfin, and there's a nice grade of yellowfin out there, too. Those fish are kind of ranging from that 10 to 30-plus pound, with a lot of those in the low to mid-20s there. So very good yellowfin fishing, some skipjacks on the count there on those full days and overnights. And just like it's been for months now, it's been spectacular fishing out there. Got some nice warm weather coming up this week, so good time to get out on the water there. Half day, still catching a lot of bottom fish there, very good bottom fishing. If you want to go out there, catch some fish, make some fish tacos, have a barbecue, very good option for you there. So, said, unfortunately, I wish I had more to tell you guys, but not much has changed. It's just the fishing rolls on here, and we're having some great fishing in the middle of October here, and it doesn't look like it's stopping anytime soon. So check the website, seaforthlanding.com. Have our full schedule up there for those half-day trips, the full days, the overnights, a few other trips in there, a day and a half, 2 days and longer in the mix here also. You can make your reservations directly online. If you want to give us a call at the office here, you can give us a call at 619-224-3383. Or come down and visit us in person. Check out the tackle shop, make your reservations, and get out there fishing.
Nothing but good times there, Marcos. Lot shaking down. Those full-day trips, just
unreal.
Keep holding up. It's incredible fishing.
Yeah, very good.
And it's not like they're fishing the islands and catching a little bit of yellowtail here and there. They're fishing offshore, catching great yellowfin fishing on a full-day trip.
And not far from the islands, which is nice, too, so you got a lot of fishing time.
Absolutely, and it's really showing there. Like I said, a nice grade of fish also. So definitely time to get out there. Don't put your gear away quite yet. You still got some fishing left.
All right. Very good, Marcos. Appreciate that report, and we will talk to you next Saturday.
We'll talk to you then, guys.
All right. The catch report today is sponsored by the Fish Pros of Fishermen's Processing in San Diego. Not only do they offer the best processing for your fish when your trip returns to the San Diego landings, now with Fish Pros Market, you can purchase fresh fish, smoked and jerked fish, spices, rubs, smoked cheeses, and their famous tuna burgers at their convenient Liberty Station location. We'll order online at fishermansprocessing.com. And the spices and rubs now are available at Dana Landing on Mission Bay. I'm sure you've seen them there, Conway.
I have, yep.
Yeah, indeed. Now, and also, too, I might add their pokey mix. You know, the waters are inundated with skipjack right now. And skipjack makes the best poke.
It
you
does.
Take care of
yes.
it. So
it's excellent.
Get that Fisherman's Processing pokey mix and make that skipjack.
If you don't have a yellowfin on hand, one of those beautiful yellowfin, just bleed one of those skippies and ice it up. And it's what the Hawaiians use.
That's it, man, for sure. Hey, I want to remind you, be sure to check out this week's edition of Western Outdoor News. Of course, they have that great Los Cabos Tuna Jackpot Tournament coming up very, very soon. There's good information on that. And, of course, hunting. It's hunting season, so a lot of good hunting information. And, of course, general fishing, yellowtail, tuna, rockfish, and more. Check it out, this week's edition of Western Outdoor News. Also want to remind you, it's the announcement for the big CCA calendar drawing, the Bill Varney CCA calendar winner. The winning number is 1105. 1105, you're going to receive a free pass for a half-day fishing trip in October from Dana Wharf Sport Fishing. And you can contact CCA by email. Just go to the CCA California website or by Facebook and claim your prize. Once again, 1105. And got a text from Bill Varney. He's at the top of Vail Pass listening to the Let's Talk Hookup app loud and clear. Nice to hear you listening there. I appreciate that, Bill.
Yeah, good morning, Bill.
Let's go ahead and jump. And Bill does such a great job with our email blast. Like you were talking about, if you're not on an email blast, you miss that great video about the shark fishing
hey,
on there.
In the email blast, it's not for advertising. It's not for anything other than
tell you what's going on.
Just let you know the shows are coming up, and then I think once every 5 or 6 weeks, you might send out an important notice.
Yep.
You know, something coming up.
Like
that's
we
it.
Have a live remote or something like that.
That's it.
Yeah. So just if you're not a subscriber, subscribe now. We have a huge list, and we'd love to add you to it. Just go to letstalkhookup.com, and you'll see right on the front, Let's Talk Hookup, on your inbox, and subscribe here. Just click on that. Subscribe. No junk, no nothing.
It's clean.
We just do you every
it's
other
free,
week.
And
that's
it's
it.
Easy.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Scott. Scott's calling from San Diego this morning. Welcome to the show this morning, Scott.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are we
Scott?
All doing? Hey, I had a question about bone fishing in the bay on the fly. If it's doable, or do I need a boat, and like the flies that they recommend, and also for that the carp showdown, are they still doing that? So if you guys can answer those questions.
Yes, couple good questions, Scott.
Okay, Scott, I'll talk to you about the bonefish. You do need a boat, I believe, to fish the bonefish in the back of the San Diego Bay, and you kind of want big tides. You want to fish flies that kind of look like ghost shrimp. You know, small clousers or pink little ghost shrimp patterns work really well. And it's not sight fishing, you know, at any means. You're going to have to just work areas. And, I mean, the best that I did with a couple of buddies, I think we got 6 on one tide.
Which is pretty good.
That's good on
really
a fly.
Good. Which is really good, yeah. Yeah. I mean, normally...
And they're legitimate bonefish down
yes,
there.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, the Mexican bonefish that got pushed up here during the, you know, some of the storm years, and it just became resident fish. So, they're there. They don't fight as good as a, you know, flats bonefish in Hawaii, but they're still fun. A lot of fun to catch.
Bonefish fishing is one of the targets for fly anglers that is just so fun, right? Conrad, you're shaking your head. It's
oh yeah, it's the tops. I mean, a lot of whether you're fishing from boat or walking the flats, clear water, you're seeing the fish tailing in front of you. You're making a cast and you're feeding the fly to the fish. It's really remarkable, and it's a great it's a good way for people to get into saltwater fly fishing because they're casting at a lot of fish.
Yeah. And they eat it.
And they eat it.
Yeah.
They're aggressive and they're great. And they fight like heck. Yeah.
Where's your favorite place, you guys, to go fish bonefish?
I think the easiest place to catch bonefish would be Christmas Island.
Yeah.
You know, we fished there before. You know, Mexico, Florida, they're all good. Florida is
Belize
a little tougher.
Is another good one,
Belize
right?
is great.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want larger bonefish, I think it's the Bahamas. That's definitely where you want to
really?
Go.
Or Hawaii.
I take Hawaii has the biggest, but they're much more difficult to catch there.
Where in Hawaii?
Oahu.
Yeah, Oahu, Molokai.
Really?
A lot of the islands have them. You just got to find good flats.
Yeah.
But they are hard to see, and it's a tough game.
Is it pressured?
It is pressured now. There's a lot more fly guys. But I have a bunch of really good Hawaiian friends that are on it, and they do really well. They put the time in, and they do really well.
It's incredible, and they're massive bonefish.
I wonder why they're so big there.
I think they come out of the deep water and they get up on those sort of the reefs and it's kind of you're fishing coral reefs with sort of sand sort of spines, and they come up and they feed in that, and so once you hook them, that's like the big deal. They'll run you into the reef and they'll saw you off. So a lot of times the tackle isn't light tippet; it's 30-pound fluorocarbon with a big fly. It's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, the Hawaiian bonefish it's like fishing the giant makos.
Yeah,
it's a different game.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've visited that fly store in Honolulu there.
Yeah,
and they have some pictures of those giant bonefish.
I have a buddy that's got nine over 10 pounds.
Oh,
that's
my gosh.
Crazy!
Yeah. Wow, that's a big bone. Hey, Scott, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Let's talk to Mike. Mike's calling from Reno, Nevada. Welcome to the show this morning, Mike.
Hey, hi guys. How's everybody? How's Conway and Al? How you doing?
Hey, Mike. How are you, buddy?
How's it going, Mike?
Hey, doing good. Hey, I got a couple quick questions. One is, how do you get the youth hooked up and be part of your Cast Hope program? And then the second thing is, what suggestions do you have for getting kids or children involved and enjoying fishing?
Awesome.
Good ones.
So, yeah, thank you, Mike. So Cast Hope is a program where we get underserved youth involved in fly fishing. And it was started up in Reno, Nevada in 2009. And we just opened basically Cast Hope here in San Diego this year. So we're working with some inner city youth. We pair them with a guide, but the youth has a mentor, and we take the mentor and the kid out, and we teach them how to fly fish. So it's been successful up north, and now San Diego was a great market that I think that it's going to be good because we have a lot of diversity down here, not only with the community, but also the fishing. And I think it's going to be great. So, yeah, Mike, so you can basically go to casthope.com, and they can direct you in terms of filling out an application, then we can get kids in the program.
So is that like a non-fisher person kind of deal, or is it somebody that does fish and maybe wants to get into fly fishing?
Okay, so a lot of underserved youth, they've never even fished before.
Period.
But yeah, so what we have found that, you know, kids get interested in fly fishing, whether it's not only fly fishing, but fly tying and things like that. And it takes those kids out of an environment where they're basically on the pavement all the time. And we take them out and we teach them to fly fish on our local reservoirs, in our bays. And it removes them from this pavement sort of life out, and they experience some really cool stuff.
Such a cool deal.
Yeah.
I have to say, Conway is one of the coolest guys I've ever met. I've known you for 30 years,
yeah.
And anything that you're involved with,
that's awesome.
It's got to be top notch.
Yeah.
I mean, period.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, last act, no doubt about it, for sure. And fly guys like Conway, like Al,
and Q, Al
do, Q. Do a lot for charities and stuff like that. And that's one thing I got hats off to a lot of the fly fishing groups and such like that. And they do a lot for charities.
As far as I've been fishing, I've always looked up to the older guys because they always gave back.
Yeah.
And this is prior to the internet.
Yeah.
And I always felt that, you know, these guys could be in the game for, you know, 80, 90 years old, and this is the game I wanted to be in. And I'm at a position now in my life where I want to give back. I want to help people.
Yeah.
I want to get more people into the sport.
Yeah.
You know, to me, that's what it's all about. It brought me so much joy in my life. So.
And like you're saying, not only bringing them to the sport, but getting them off the pavement, getting them out from behind a keyboard.
It's amazing. Once we've had kids that are in sort of the East County area, and they have never even been out in our backcountry, and we've taken them out to Lake Hodges, and they're like, wow, we didn't even know this existed. And then they see a mule deer, they see a bald eagle,
a coyote,
yeah. And then they learn how to fly cast, and they catch a bluegill. They're like, that's amazing. And then they say, we want to go out next month, and then we just keep working them through the program.
That's stories cool. That last a lifetime.
And,
for sure.
And the thing is, you know, even if that child doesn't continue on fly fishing, they've been exposed to something that's really great, nature, right?
Yeah.
And so that could lead down a bunch of different paths.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you impact, I mean, you just lay a low number out, 2 or 3 or 4 out of the 100.
Like
that's
I said,
an incredible number.
Like I said, if you get one kid to go on that path, you know, that's the goal.
Right? I always forget about Conway's other job, and that is reservoir keeper at Lake Hodges,
yeah,
too.
The day
he works for the city of San Antonio, right?
I do, for many years,
yeah.
And I've been up, yeah. It's
from
so,
Lake Murray to...
Well, I mean, I think from Lake San Vicente to El Cap to Murray to
right.
Hodges, so yeah. It's a great gig. I'm out in nature every day.
That's so cool.
And I could never be squared into some cubicle someplace. So, but I'm very fortunate. I have a great life. And
yeah.
So, but as I said, giving back to these kids is very, very important.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy, but we're going to be working with Patagonia Store,
and
their founder, Yvon Chouinard, is one of the coolest people on the planet. But just to show you how getting kids out into nature. He lives in Wyoming half the year, and, you know, he's teaching the kids, the Indian reservation kids, how to fish.
Is he really?
Because they're on Game Boys, and they're in they stay inside.
Yeah,
that's so
and he's
cool.
I mean, what an oxymoron. He's teaching the American Indians how to fish.
Yep. Yeah.
But that's what whatever it takes to get people into the natural world, it changes their lives.
And you said for this big premiere, Finding Joe Brooks, that Yvon Chouinard is going to be there.
We're hoping he's going to be there. Yeah,
yeah.
He was a big fan of Joe and a very, very close friend of Lefty.
Yeah.
And Lefty's in the film, so
wow.
I'm sure he'll show up.
One of the legends.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of them are legends, right?
Yeah.
And Lefty is another guy. What a great guy. I remember hanging out with
Unreal.
Lefty. He's on the show many times through Bob Merritt's Fly Fishing Store. And Lefty gave a lot back.
Yes. Yes. Lefty said, share knowledge. Don't at least I share knowledge.
Don't covet it. I don't know.
Yeah,
don't
keep yeah, it. He was always giving.
Yeah.
And he never tried to up anybody. You know, he always taught. He didn't try to demonstrate like he would. He didn't never demonstrate how great he was, but he always tried to share that knowledge with people.
Yeah.
And he always talked to you directly like you were his peer. He never talked over you.
No.
And that he had that great gift of dealing with anybody in any place and yep. making them feel special.
Yep. A lot of times, fly fishermen get this ego, shall we say, that to me isn't appropriate. It's fishing, right?
You're absolutely right.
And yes. Lefty, probably one of the greatest that ever lived, was never like that.
Nope. That's correct. He tried to break those barriers down, actually.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Mike, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Let's talk to John. John's calling from Mira Mesa this morning. Welcome to the show this morning, John.
Yeah, hey, good morning, guys. So I need to replace my chest waders, and I know the San Diego Fly Shop's no longer around, and I don't know if Stroud's tackle's still around, if they carry that, but I was wondering if you guys can maybe recommend a place that would have a good selection, different price points.
Yeah, so, Stroud's still there. Rick took over the shop, so he's got a great selection of waders. I think he's got every major brand there. And then also the Fly Stop, that's another great shop. And they're up on, I think they're in Miramar. On Miramar, right around the Miramar area. So the Fly Stop and Stroud Tackle. So I would definitely go to both, and they have all sorts of price points. And the waders today are so good that you don't have to spend, you know, a ton of dough to get
Reddington,
a really good...
Reddington, Sims,
Orvis,
Cabela's.
You can't get Cabela's at those shops. But I'll tell you what, it's important to go into a shop, try on the waders, because each company, they're going to have a different fit. But you've got a lot of options here in San Diego.
Indeed. And price points anywhere from... less than $100 to $500.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. So you can find waders to fit any budget.
Yep.
But definitely go in and try them on and see what waders fit best.
Indeed, John. Hope that helped you out. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Let's talk to Charlie. Charlie's calling from Santa Barbara. Welcome to the show this morning, Charlie.
Hey guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking the call. It's been a great show so far. I wanted to ask Al Q a couple questions. Up here in Santa Barbara, we've got a lot of surf and beach up here, and I'm a trout fisherman by trade, but I really like to get into fishing in the surf. Where do I start? What's the setup? What do I use? Can you just kind of talk a little bit about that?
Sure.
I hear a lot of local guys talking Corbina, too.
Sure, Charlie. First of all, you don't have to get really technical about fishing the surf. A lot of times, guys that fish freshwater have everything they need. The main thing you want is you want a reel that's going to be has a seal drag so that it's not going to get destroyed in the surf. I always wash my stuff down after each session, but you can get away with anywhere from a 6, 7, or 8 weight rod. You want to use a shooting head system. That means the first 30 feet of the line has weight to it, and then an equal running line that's about maybe 50 or 60 feet behind it. Your leader system, anywhere from a 7 foot, you can use a straight piece of 10 pound test, and then tie a fly on the end. And I suggest having a stripping basket, you know, so that you can contain your line.
You pretty much in the surf, you have to have a stripping basket.
You should have it. You don't have to, but you should. I would say 99% of the time, but a lot of guys are walking around without them, and I guess they make it work, but I don't like it. If you have to move from one point to another, and you have the line running around on the ground, I guarantee you're going to step on it.
And a stripping basket can be anywhere from just like a dish pan.
It could be a Tupperware thing. You just want some fingers in it to kind of hold the line so it comes out easy. Me and my buddy Jim, we have a thing called the Fly Zone, and we teach people how to fish to surf and work with people that in casting and just in all sorts of aspects of fly fishing.
How does that happen?
It's the flyzone.net. You can just go on. Yeah, you can go to that website.
Oh, really? Okay.
And we do that for people, whether you're a seasoned veteran or whether you're a beginner.
Casting to a Corbina in the surf and having them take it is so exciting because there's sight fishing involved there too. You see them eat it.
Absolutely. I think during the summer months in California, we have a world class Corbina fishery on all our beaches up and down the coast from Santa Barbara.
And they love to eat the fly, right?
They eat the fly. They definitely eat the fly. You want to have a sand crab pattern. You know, you want to be able to watch these fish, get out of the low tide so you can see where they're moving around and fish that incoming low tide. And you'll learn a lot And I'll tell you, it'll hone your skills to go anywhere else in the world and fish, sight fish.
Yeah.
If you could sight fish corbina consistently, you can fish for anything.
Yeah, definitely.
That's incredible. And Santa Barbara's an awesome place for it. I mean,
oh,
the halibut and the surf and the surf perch. And
Santa Barbara's got white sea bass. They got striped bass running up and down the beach up there. Great corbina in the summertime.
Yeah.
A big, big surf perch. There's lots of opportunities up and down. Looking to, you know, just try to get into a club. Talk to some of the locals up there that are fishing and, you know, mentor someone. That's the best way to go.
Sounds like good times, Charlie. And, man, we
thanks for the call.
Yeah, certainly appreciate you joining the show. And we're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup. It's Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice with Conway Bowman and Al Q. And Let's Talk Hookup.
This is Greg Stotesbury from AFCO. For more than 58 years, the American Fishing Tackle Company has been recognized as the premier manufacturer of precision-built offshore fishing tackle. AFCO continues this tradition today with an innovative technical fishing clothing line designed and built by fishermen for fishermen. From our next-generation waterproof shorts like Tactical or Stealth to our new anhydrous waterproof jacket and bibs, the entire AFCO clothing line is purpose-built with the latest AFTEC fabrics and features designed to deliver for the demanding angler. To find AFCO products, go to AFCO.com and find a dealer near you.
If you're into saltwater fishing, listen to this. Saturday, November 2nd, it's Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Hi, this is Doug Kern. We are pulling out all the stops on this one with discounts from 20 to 80% on hundreds of items. Over 20 manufacturers' reps like Shimano, plenty of seminars by saltwater experts, a giant raffle, and most of all, incredible deals on tackle. Closeouts we've never offered before at Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing. Check out all the Shimano and PowerPro product we have and talk to the Shimano and PowerPro guys about the best Shimano rod and reel for your trip. Backed by popular demand, the Shimano Tranks Casting Contest. Cast a Shimano Tranks 500 and Terramar 90H rod and show your surface iron casting skills. The winner gets a Tranks 500 worth $500. It's our biggest sale of the year with hundreds of items discounted up to 80%. Plus, plenty of manufacturer's incentives from Shimano and PowerPro to spice up the pot. We will have a huge raffle and lots of fun for everyone. So don't miss it. Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing. Unbelievable pricing on tackle, clothing, and accessories. Saturday, November 2nd.
I can't wait to spend some quality time with my son fishing this year, teaching him about casting, how to choose bait, set the hook, and how to be safe on the water by always wearing a life jacket. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Have you always wanted a boat but don't want all the hassles? Then you need to join Freedom Boat Club, where you get hassle-free boating. Freedom Boat Club buys the boats, you enjoy them, and they do the rest. Freedom Boat Club takes care of the slip fee, maintenance, insurance, and cleaning. You have access to a fleet of great fishing and family boats ready to go in the water at Mission Bay, San Diego Bay, and 190-plus locations across the world. For more information, check freedomboatclub.com or visit them at Dana Landing and Cabrillo Isle Marina.
For over five decades, Lee Palm Sport Fishing has set the standard in long-range fishing that they pioneered long ago. The Red Rooster 3 sets a new standard of excellence. The Red Rooster 3 is one of the most modern, quiet, and fastest long-range vessels in the fleet. They have handpicked the finest crew to make your trip a memorable one. The Red Rooster 3 offers trips from 3 to 18 days and runs year-round to the best fishing spots on the planet. Ride the Red Rooster 3 once and you'll be back again. Call the Red Rooster 3 at 619-224-3800 or see them on the web at redrooster3.com.
It's another innovation from Seaguar, the proven leader in saltwater leader material. Introducing new Gold Label Leader. It's Seaguar's thinnest leader material yet, 18% thinner and 17% stronger than any other Seaguar leader. That means it's even less visible underwater and creates more natural presentations for better catch rates in clear water and on leader-shy fish. New Gold Label is made with exclusive Seaguar fluorocarbon resins in a double structure process which provides exceptional knot and tensile strength. Yet it's soft and cinches easily for fail-safe knots. Get Seaguar Gold Label at your favorite tackle dealer or learn more at Seaguar.com.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup and having a great time in studio. And
what fun show.
The lines are packed.
Packed, yeah, they want to talk, so let's jump into it.
Let's do it. Let's talk to Doug, our good friend from Montebello. Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup, Doug.
Yeah, I was wondering about the surf fishing. The guy asked my question before, how much will all that cost anybody?
That's a good question. Like just a basic fly outfit for fishing the surf, which you said, Al Q, would be very similar to what you'd be fishing in freshwater also.
Yeah, you know, today you can get things fairly reasonably. There's a lot of rods being brought in from Korea and China and stuff, and the price points are really, really low. You know,
you don't have to pay $700 or $800.
No, no. I mean, it's like drinking wine. You know, you want to drink the best bottle of wine you can that you could afford. You know, and to get started, you don't really need expensive equipment. You can buy things used, even. You know, I would go online and try to find things, you know, used just to kind of get in the game, and then work your way up, and you know, you might see that really nice fly rod that you want to get someday, and you work your way to it, and you get it. You know, so I'm all for trying to DIY it and trying to, you know, just get some hand-me-downs and go to fly clubs that sometimes they have sales and get things, get in the game. Once you get in the game, then you can have fun.
San Diego Fly Fishers. I remember when Marty Milner was a part of the show, yeah, and he introduced, yeah, me to fly fishing along with Bob Marriott. Took me to the San Diego Fly Fishers, I believe it's Saturday or Sunday, casting event at Lake Murray.
Lake Murray. I think it was every Sunday.
Every Sunday. It, yeah. And they teach people. Do they,
yeah,
still do that?
They do that. Yep, they sure do. That. Yeah.
And they teach people how to fly cast. Yeah. And there's several clubs across Southern California. Doug, I know you're in Montebello, L.A. I'm sure there's some L.A. clubs, some Orange County clubs that would do the same thing of basically put a fly rod in your hand and guys out there teaching you how to do it.
Yeah, and these guys can cast and they can get you, you, yeah, know, casting proficiently pretty quickly, and then you can take that, and then there may be somebody in the club that will take you down to the surf and, yeah, just show you, right, how to fish the surf. So a club is a really great place to start. And also, you know, if there's a local fly shop around, there's some, yeah, some good information and good folks that hang out
I
there.
I think there's an awesome one in Van Nuys, isn't there, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
the Fisherman's Spot.
There it is. Yeah, yeah, so, yeah, very, yeah, close to you, Doug. Yeah.
And then does Bob Marriott still do his fly fishing fair in November?
He's not doing the fair, but no. They do have classes out of there as well. Yeah. And again, like I said, if you want to learn stuff about the surf, you could always get in touch with theflyzone.net.
Theflyzone.net. Yeah, and, yeah, you'll kind of help guide them through.
We help guys get them in the surf all the time.
It's so, yeah, fun. Hey, Nick, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
What a cool deal. And let's talk to Dave. Dave from ANZA. Welcome to the show this morning, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Say, Conway, I've got two questions for you. First one is, I used to enjoy watching your show on television, Dollar Wise Fly, where you went out fishing all day, but you showed us some economical places to eat at night, and you turned me on to some really good places. Just wondering if you ever have any plans to come back on television. And my second question for you is, I know you're not the only fisherman in your family. Tell me a little bit about your wife's exploits out there.
Okay. Okay, here we go. So, I had a great TV career that ended last year, but Dollar Wise Fly was great. But plans for TV, probably not. Not in the near future. I'm busy doing other things now, and it was a great run. I think it was 10 years.
That's so incredible.
Yeah, it was great. Cool. And
got to see some amazing places.
I got to travel all over the world. Yeah. And
I remember that place you talked about in Kodiak about the steelhead and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to,
yeah,
go there so bad. Yeah.
So I went all over the world, so I really had a great time. And, you know, I got two young boys, and it's really actually nice to be home and not on the road, yeah, a lot. Yeah. But if the opportunity comes up, you know, I'll definitely look at it. And then, yeah, Michelle, great angler. You know, the story is, on our third date, I took her fly fishing for Mako's, and she hated Mako sharks, and she hated sharks because she was a surfer. And I took her out, I said to Chumps, like, a shark came in, and she's like, oh my gosh, you know, what are we doing? I said, you're going to catch this fish. She's like, what? Anyway, she caught it. And from that moment on, she became a great angler and really sort of pioneered, you know, stand-up paddleboard fishing, yeah, and fly fishing. She's caught some huge white sea bass, calico bass. You know, she's a great angler. Unfortunately, she doesn't get to get out as much anymore because of the two boys.
That happens.
How old are the boys now?
9 and 4.
And
but
are they fishermen?
Sorta. You know, we really don't force fishing on them. I think they enjoy it. Yeah. But I'm going to wait for them to actually beg Dad to go fishing.
There you go. So,
you know,
cool.
Mako got Max got his first Mako shark last year, I think, on the fly.
Wow,
I think it was a 70-pounder, and he was stoked.
You liked it, yeah.
But, you know, when my kids start begging me to go fishing, that's when I'm really going to take them. I'm not going to force it on them.
Yeah.
But they do all kinds of other stuff. They surf. They do all kinds,
yeah,
of great things. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, Michelle, she's going to get back on the water definitely here
Michelle
pretty soon.
She's the real deal.
She's the real
deal.
Oh,
yeah.
She's no joke. I mean,
yeah,
she's a great
angler.
Yeah. And,
yeah,
she's great to fish with. So.
Yeah, indeed. Hey, Dave, thanks a lot,
Dave,
for the phone call this morning.
Oh, some good stories. I'm sure Norman from San Diego has a good one. Good morning, Norman.
Hey.
thanks for taking my call. It's always tough to follow Doug from Montebello, but I'll try. got a question for Al. Congratulations on that magnificent rooster from the surf.
Thank you.
I'm wondering if you could tell us the fly and setup you use, and also if that particular setup and fly are different than what you would use from a Ponga.
It is a little different, and there's a couple of things that happen that I'll share with you. One is your fly has to swim perfectly straight. It cannot tilt to any side. And what happens is most guys like to put eyes on their flies. And I don't care who you are, but you're never going to put the eye exactly across from each other. It won't run true. So the fly I had no eyes in it. That's number one. Number two, the fly that we tied, I can tie really good flies, and my flies I thought fished great, and I cast them out, and I stripped them as fast as I could, and they did move a little bit to one side. So my buddy said, Al, I know you don't have any ego. I'm going to put my fly on, cast it, and strip it and see if you like it better. And it came in as straight as a dart. And I said, okay, I'm going to keep your fly on. And the reason it did that is because he used brush. It's a material that you can wrap 360 degrees around the shank, and it distributes the materials equally. So that fly is going to run true. Okay, very, very important.
Interesting that is such a big
right.
deal.
It's a big thing off the beach. Now, on a Ponga, you can throw a fly, you can cut the fly in half and throw it off because most of the guys are chumming, and those fish are just hot all over the place. So they'll eat flies that look like they're cut in half, practically. Sometimes the guys catch them on flies that are cut in half. So it's a little bit different game. But off the beach, that fly has to look like it's literally running for its life, and it's going to beach itself. So that's my big tip there. The setup I had was a 10 weight. I think I had a hatch, weight forward, 11 weight line. And,
floating line.
It was an intermediate. I'm sorry. Intermediate. I had an intermediate line. I know a lot of guys that fish off the surf down there with a sinking line. And the reason they do that is because they want to break the tension of the water and get that fly into the water, you know, like 2 or 3 feet before they strip it, so that fly's in the fish's face. A lot of guys throw floating lines and even intermediate lines, and they'll cast right to the fish, and they'll swim that fly right over the fish, and it won't get in their face because the break there is deep. You could walk 2 or 3 feet out off the beach there and be in 5-6 feet of water. So you got to get that fly to soak out. That was the key for me catching that big fish. If I had cast the two fish prior, I threw four great shots, and I swam that fly over their head, and I was like a dejected person. After I ran like 400 yards up and down the beach, I almost died of a heart attack. And I kept saying, what did I do wrong? It was because I swam that fly over their head. When I had the opportunity to catch the bigger fish, I cast out way ahead of them and let that fly sit for about 10 seconds before I bumped it. And then I watched the attitude of the fish. As soon as I bumped it once, they didn't move. I bumped it the second time. I saw the fish move on it. And then that's when I came on big time, stripping as fast as you could.
What a rush. Nice. What an adrenaline rush.
All right, Norman, go get them. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Yeah, good stuff. Let's talk to Justin. Justin calling from Leucadia. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup this morning, Justin.
Hey, boys. Thanks for having me on. A great show. I've spent a little bit of time with Al and a lot of time with Conway filming some of their escapades. And we spent some time up at Jurassic Park for the massive Makos trying to get one of the 1,000-pounders. And I know after you guys got a 750 and an 800-pounder, you huddled in the front of the boat, and you were trying to figure out, hey, how do you get these? Once these big fish, you hook them, they do their thing, and they sound. How do you get them up from down below so you can get them to leader and actually have and release them properly? And you're talking about different leader lengths and ways to do that. Have you guys figured out how to get those massive fish to leader so we can claim that we got a 1,000-pounder?
Yeah, I mean that's the million-dollar question. You're sort of once you hook them. You're at the Mako basically is running the show. But Al had a really good leader system that we used.
Well, there's a way that I think we should try, at least the next time, is using a sinking line.
Yeah.
And the reason I said this is because there's a couple of guys that are really big game marlin fishermen, and they catch big fish on 20-pound tippets because they feel that when you use a heavy line, it throws drag in the water, and it drapes over the fish's back, and they don't like it being pulled down. So that keeps the fish up on the surface, and those marlin will stay up longer, and you can beat them up. They'll beat themselves up. They won't sound. So maybe there's something to that with some of these big fish. We haven't really tried that.
Well, you know, this summer I actually did a little bit of that, and it actually worked pretty good.
Did it work?
Yeah.
Good.
But, you know, it's sort of with a big fish, it's like, you know, you hook them and they're gone. It's like, you know, at that moment you're just, you know, trying to chase them down to get them to the boat. And in terms of releasing those fish, you know, once you get them to that leader, and this year I was using like 13-foot leaders. So I just touch the mono and I break it off because you can't stick a release stick in the corner of a, you know, 500,000-pound mako's face. You can't do it.
Yeah. How heavy is your mono?
I use like 40-pound.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's
not heavy.
Not heavy at all. Oh, no. Yeah. And I don't do IGFA stuff. I just, that's, you know.
But your mono is connected to a steel.
Steel leader, yeah.
Steel leader.
So how long is a steel leader?
For the big fish, it's about 4.5-5 feet.
Oh, it's that big.
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's, you know, if you get them to the point where you can leader them after a long battle, you just basically touch the leader and break the fly.
Yeah.
So, and it's honestly that's great. And it's, you know, watching them jump and watching that take, that's sort of that's the thing.
That's incredible. Like, Justin, it must have been quite an adventure working with those guys and filming that, huh?
Oh man, it's crazy. And like they said, the first time you see one of those beasts jump out of the water next to the boat, it's a whole different vision at that stage. And I've seen the small ones and I've seen the big ones, and these guys are into some cool stuff up there at Jurassic Park.
That's cool. Well, thanks, Justin. Appreciate the call this morning. How does one go fishing with you, Conway? If somebody wants to go catch a mako shark on the fly, how do they do it?
Yeah, they just go to conwaybowman.com, and I've got all the information on there on all the trips I offer. And
different types of trips, half-day, full-day?
You know, I do tide trips, which is a six-hour tide trip, or I do full-day, or I do even do extended days, which is a 12-hour day. But those are during the summer. You know,
tide trip.
So a tide trip is like I time the tide perfect, you know, so whether it's a morning or afternoon tide, if we have a really good afternoon tide, we'll leave the dock, you know, at 10 o'clock and fish till, you know, 6. And they're roughly 6 hours.
So what happens? The tide makes a difference?
It does, yeah. Definitely mako sharks feed on a tide.
On a tide. At the slack? Or
at the slack. But it's funny, as you sort of come in and out of a sort of slack water, that's the best time to
really?
Target them. And of course, you know, that's in general, but right. You know, sometimes the fish are just around.
Yeah.
But I find that those tide trips, and if you time the tide right, you can really focus in on that specific time, and then you know, have a good opportunity. But I'll tell you what, there are a lot of days I sit out there for 10 hours and just on one slick, yeah. and a lot of times your big fish comes right at the end of the day.
That's crazy.
And a lot of the folks I fish with, we're actually big game hunting. That's what you're doing. You're looking for the right conditions, and you're waiting the duration of that time on the water for that one opportunity.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
You know, one of my pet peeves for a long time, I hate to get on my soapbox here, but has been killing people that kill sharks.
Right.
I am just so against killing any type of shark, and especially like a mako shark or something like that.
Yeah.
And I think what you need to do is, if you like to kill sharks, you need to go out with a guy like Conway and see how majestic these creatures really are. And
respect them on another level.
Respect them because they're so heavily pressured across the country, across the world,
around the world.
You know what the Chinese do to it with the soup fins and all.
Yeah,
it's a horrible thing what they're doing to the populations of sharks. And just when you go out and be among these sharks, you realize what incredible creatures they are.
Right, and for each client on the boat, each person on the boat, once they experience that, now they're the best ambassador for that fish.
Yes,
for that fish.
Absolutely.
And they go back and, you know what, There's no way I can keep such a beautiful creature, but I can experience a great fight,
absolutely,
a great battle, a great day on the water.
And they go away unscathed.
Unscathed because, you know, I fish barbless hooks, too.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing. So it's an easy release, and people say, well, what about, you know, when you break the hook off in their mouth? They shake it out of their mouth.
Yeah.
So it's a great situation for folks to come out and really
and
connect.
It's incredible. It's right here in our backyard.
It's right here.
And
yeah.
You leave from Mission Bay, Dana Landing.
Right there.
Pretty cool.
It's the Discovery Channel on steroids.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is. And the good thing is that the we don't have to kill the sharks. They can just swim away. And,
so please don't kill sharks.
Please don't kill sharks. It's not a good thing.
Yeah.
And it's bad karma.
Yeah,
actually.
It is.
Don't
it is.
Do
you're
it.
Right. It's
do
bad
not
karma.
Do that.
It's someday in the middle of the night.
That's right.
Get you if you
right.
Especially if you surf.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's go and jump back in the phone.
Let's do it, Pete. Let's talk to Mitch. Mitch calling from Santee. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup, Mitch.
Hey, good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
Quick question for Conway. Fly fishing for yellowfin, and maybe what would I use?
So yellowfin are really, really strong fighting fish. So I would start with 11 weight. I would use a sinking line, so a 550 grain sinking line, because you need to get the fly, you know, pretty deep, even if they're feeding on the surface. And depending on what food item they're eating, you really have to size your fly appropriately. And a lot of times, you got to use a really small fly because they get very picky. Even if they're boiling at the corner, they're going to get very persnickety on the size bait that they're eating. So so a sinking line, though, is critical. They're very difficult to get on a floating line. But I would start with an 11 weight. Even a 20-pound yellowfin is going to beat you up on 11 weight. And then if you get into that bigger grade fish, you're going to have to get up to like a 14 weight. The great thing is you don't have to make a long cast a lot of times. You can make a cast, let the fly sink out, you know, and then let it sink out probably 100 feet and then strip it back. And the other thing that I tell people is it's really critical to keep the fly moving through the water. So the way you do that is you do a two-handed strip. So it's not you're not doing a traditional one-handed strip. You take two hands, you put the rod under one of your arms, and you basically you two-hand strip the line. What that does, it keeps the fly moving through the water, and a lot of times tuna want a natural, you know, a fly to look very natural. And a fly does not look natural if you're stripping it with one hand and it drops.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't look right. So a two-hand strip is great, and you can dictate how fast the fly is going. So if you need a slow strip, you can two-hand strip and have the fly go through the water slowly, or if it's really fast, you can really burn it through the water.
Let me ask you this. I mean, with the popper craze, there's got to be some cool stuff for yellowfin, like on the surface popper type stuff.
There is. I haven't done any of that, so I don't know. I haven't done it here.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it would be great. I think the hard thing is making a long cast.
Okay.
Now, if you have them boiling at the corner, you can definitely try it.
Yeah.
But I've had success on crease flies, it's like a foam popper.
What kind of fly do you use on the elephant or alq?
You could like Conway said, a sardine pattern or sardine. Anchovy pattern. But the crease fly is just a folded over piece of foam stays in the surface, and it's really a great pattern. Yeah.
So like a lefty deceiver or something like that.
Deceiver would work fine.
Yeah,
sure.
Just real small fly. Huh?
Real small.
Sometimes very small. Yeah.
Sometimes a couple of little wraps of lead on the shank just to kind of get it to break the surface and get down a little bit.
Yeah. All right. Very good, Mitch. Go get him. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Let's jump back and let's talk to Michael. Michael calling from Del Mar. Welcome to the show this morning, Michael.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing good. Doing good.
So I got blessed. I just wanted to give you a little update. What a wonderful place to live. I know some of these people listening live out of town, but if you're in San Diego, oh, what a blessing that we've got all these different sport fishing industries. I think they all got to be wonderful. All these guys that work these boats, they make a living, you know, helping you out. I went on the Pacific, and we slayed the yellowfin a couple of days ago, the skipjack. I've got an ice cooler full. I'm going to a men's Bible study this morning. I got the pound of meat in every little bag. I get so many bags coming out of my ears. It just was wonderful. I learned a couple of things kind of important. If you're not proficient, let the deckhands do things like even cast your bait out, because they can get an extra 5, 6, 7 foot on a cast that, if you're kind of proficient, and that will instantly net you, I noticed, fish, whereas you may not get one. You know, they even know how to pick them out of the live well there.
That's great, Michael.
I was just so impressed on all these guys.
They are. We're very fortunate to have the best in town. There's no doubt about it.
It's definitely some good stuff, and it's tough for some guys to step down and just say, I need help. And it's awesome you could do that, Michael. Hey, we appreciate you joining the show, and we're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup. We're going to have more from Al Q and more from Conway Bowman. We're going to find out who's won this full-day trip on the San Diego out of Seaforth when we come back on Southern California Sport Fishing Voice. It's Let's Talk Hookup.
Rock Cod Rick here for West Coast Marine and Parker Boats. You see them all over Southern California waters. Parker Boats at the launch ramp, the offshore islands. You wake up in the morning on an overnight trip, and there they are. Parker Boats of all size fishing in the same area as the sporties. There's a good reason for it. Fishability and seaworthiness. Of all the boats out there, my boat partner and I chose to get a brand new 25 Parker center console from Kevin Kelly and the gang at West Coast Marine, and I could not be happier. Wow, what a fishing machine. Parker Marine builds a heavy-duty, industrial-strength boat, probably overbuilt, but that's why so many 4 and 6 pack charters choose to operate Parkers. We thank the guys at Pinnacle Sport Fishing, Season Sport Fishing, One Man Charters, Black and Blue Sport Fishing for their confidence in Parker boats. Take it from me, if you are ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, and honest deal, you need to see Kevin Kelly at West Coast Marine, located at 1555 Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa, or check out their inventory and information at westcoastmarine.com.
It's Yamaha's Why Wait for Spring Fall Sales event from October 1st to November 26th. Take advantage of special offers on eligible new 2.5 to 300 horsepower 4-strokes and be ready to hit the water in spring. For details, visit YamahaOutboards.com or your local Yamaha Outboards dealer today. Yamaha, reliability starts here. For a limited time only, offer ends November 26, 2019, subject to change. Other restrictions and conditions apply. Select models excluded. See authorized participating Yamaha Outboard dealers for details. Cannot be used with any other Yamaha offer.
Saturday, November 2nd is Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Seminars by saltwater experts, incredible deals on tackle and clothing. Choose from hundreds of t-shirts and shorts from AFTCO. It's AFTCO and Fisherman's Landing, Saturday, November 2nd.
Fisherman's Landing has been the choice of sport fishing anglers for decades, with the largest fleet of long-range boats worldwide, complemented by Southern California's finest charter and open party fleet. Now is the time to book your long-range trips and charters, plus half-day trips aboard the Dolphin. Go to fishermanslanding.com and see trip availability, and even book your trip online. Stop by or call Fisherman's Landing in San Diego and book now at fishermanslanding.com.
2 years ago, Gamakatsu set out to develop a hook light enough for live bait to swim naturally, yet strong enough to handle your next trophy bluefin. The answer? The Gamakatsu Nautilus Heavy Duty. Most captains agree the Gamakatsu Nautilus hook is best for tuna. And now with the introduction of the Nautilus HD, no matter how big the tuna, Gamakatsu has a hook to handle it. The new Nautilus HD is now available with solid ring or standard hook. Get it now at select tackle shops and start getting bit.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. We're having a great time. We had a fun day in studio. The lucky winner today is Charlie. Charlie from Carpinteria won the full-day trip on to San Diego. Charlie, you're going to have an awesome time.
Listening to us on the Let's Talk Hookup app. Thanks for that, Charlie. A lot of people this morning listened to us on the app for sure, because these guys are very, very popular from all over. Al Q came down all the way from Westchester and L.A. Airport area. Thank you for doing that, Al. Appreciate that. Yeah, and of course, Conway, local man here, and thank you, Conway,
Thanks very much
for doing that. Once again, Conway, if somebody wants to come fishing with you, I want to do that so bad.
Come on,
it sounds like so much fun, the Mako thing. How do we do it?
ConwayBowman.com. Go there. Everything's on there, my phone number and all the information that you'll need.
Yeah, for sure. And Al, if somebody wants to come to the big premiere at the Patagonia store in Santa Monica.
Yeah, just Google Patagonia store Santa Monica and just go to the events page, November 16th. You can click on the link there, the Eventbrite link, and you get tickets.
And they go on sale today at noon, and they're going to sell out.
It will sell out, I'm almost guaranteed.
So jump on it for sure. And thank you, guys. Appreciate that very, very much. Thank you, Corey. We're going to be back tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m., right back here on the Let's Talk Hookup Network. Captain Frank Lopresti from the Royal Polaris and the Shogun. I think Frank will have a couple of stories here and there.
Like I said, the heavyweights this weekend.
Yeah, and we'll give you the lowdown of the big Ricky and Dallas wedding, too, for sure. See how that event goes.
Congratulatories to Dallas and Rick.
Yeah, for sure. So thanks to the guys. Thanks a lot. Brian right here in the studio. Adam on the other side of the glass for all he does. And we sure appreciate all your support of Larry. Let's Talk Hookup. We'll see you tomorrow morning right back here on the Let's Talk Hookup Network.